Good to be back in this house with you, and we appreciate the Lord. Let's get this button right. I'm glad he's alive, Brother Ike.
Amen.
Glad he's still working.
Yes, sir.
In our midst. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so many things. I know you have plans this afternoon with your family and loved ones. We're not going to try to tie you up. But I've been just happy, Brother Ike, would have went on, wouldn't y'all? Real happy, Brother Ike. But I wouldn't want to hear a preacher who didn't love to preach, would you? There's something about that. But we still want to be conscious of the time. And so, but once you get started, Brother Don, it ain't always easy to quit, is it? And it's kind of like, y'all don't ever do this, so I'll just talk about me. You know, you ever kind of pick at your wife a little bit? She's quiet. She ain't saying much. You want to kind of get her started. But then if you get her started, and you see you got more than you bargained for. And so that's kind of the deal. Sometimes we ought to just leave well enough alone.
Yeah.
But look in 1 Corinthians 15, if you got your Bible. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll talk about a few things here I believe God would have us to see.
Yeah.
I pray this is a real emotional day for you. I trust if you are saved, this is an emotional day for you. It is a celebration time.
Yes, it is.
Well, nothing in this world can be compared to what it means to a believer to celebrate the resurrection. Because, as Brother Ike's already said, everything that we believe hinges on the resurrection. And so without that, what do we have? Well, that's what Paul's talking about in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. We'll deal with that a little bit this morning. But, you know, it is a personal salvation. It is a very, I heard somebody say this a week or two ago. It might have been in the meeting. But somebody made the mention about the fact that, you know, there's no need to wait. The call of God goes to all mankind, and that's true. Salvation is to all who will believe. We know that, but it's not to be confused with universalism. Universalism says everybody's going to be saved under the great blanket plan of the Lord Jesus, but that's not so. And so this was something that they dealt with in the 1700s. Finney dealt with this matter. Matter of fact, you know, oftentimes people have certain things that they're seems to be rising up against them. But in Finney's day in New England, of course, he spent lots of time in New England. But there, as he preached and ministered, universalism was a big problem. And you don't hear so much about it today, but it is becoming more and more heard about, especially through the mainstream, name it, claim it, everybody's good, nobody's bad, sin's not a problem anymore. You just need to feel better about yourself. And so in that, you know, if you show up three times, they're going to tell you you're saved. And everybody's universally saved in their mind. Now, they won't tell you that, but this is not to be confused with that. The call of God comes to all mankind. Brother Hayward did a great job at the Bible study this morning, but he was talking about how that these two men from Emmaus, how they dealt with the Lord. That was a personal dealing with the Lord. And every person God saves will personally have a confrontation with Christ. Now, I didn't say that you would, you know, your emotions would be like everybody else's, or you would come forward here, or none of those things are we trying to nail down. But there will be a confrontation with all mankind, man, woman, boy, girl, when they're saved. There will be. Because we have to deal with Christ. And so we find this, the Lord has appointed him and anointed him Lord over all. And so we've got to do something about him. And that's what the gospel is about. And this is why oftentimes confrontation is shunned. Doesn't it amaze you? The God of all peace yet has ordained a confrontation with you and his son.
Amen.
You got to get that past you. That forgiveness comes through Christ. There is no other way.
Right.
And so we got to deal with him. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm going to go over through the back door. There is no back door. Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So we have to come by Christ. There is no other way. We're talking about that. And here we find that the Lord who we know hated violence. Remember, that was part of the problem in Noah's day. Violence had filled the land. And the same God who despised and hated violence is the same God that allowed his son in the hands of violent men. and crucified him. I like the song sis was singing about the blood. And so that precious blood, and God, here we find it in Genesis 9:6. We're not looking there, but I'll give you this on the fly. As God told Noah, remember, God didn't forget this thing about violence. When Noah got off the ark, God told him that whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God despised the shedding of blood. But yet it's his son who's placed in the hands of violent sinners, and it's his blood who's spilled. What a blessing. Only God would do that. Something that is so contrasting to the Lord is what God uses. And so you have to like that. Well, let's read the text in Genesis 15 and see a couple of things right here. See it with us in the 13th verse. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Paul said we're all just a big sack of liars if there was no resurrection. He said not only is that vain and that's vain, but our preaching's vain and we're false witnesses. Why? Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now Paul said we got to establish one of two things. Either the resurrection's real or it's not.
Right.
Either God has ever raised mankind before, and he has. We know that he brought them back. Lazarus is a great example of that. But we see him in the Old Testament where God raised him. And so here, dealing with, now we know Corinth was not the city of, you know, the ultimate city of where all Jews lived. We know that was a heathen outfit there. But of course, there were Jews in the midst, and they had to deal with this matter of resurrection. Either it's real or it's not.
Right.
And see, two things Paul's talking about. Either the resurrection's right, and our faith's right, or the resurrection's wrong, and our faith is in vain. See how many times he used this. Watch this in the 16th verse. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And ye are yet in your sins. He said you still got a problem if Christ never rose. And so we still got a sin problem if that never happened. I want you to back up a little bit and see it where Paul used this word 3 or 4 or 5 times, whatever it is, didn't take time to count them. But look in the 10th verse where he said, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And then he said, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. And so he's dealt with it. So what is it? It's a vain grace or real grace? And then he's dealing with the vanity of preaching. And so see it. If Christ be not risen, your preaching's vain. There's another problem there. And then we read that where he said, your faith's vain. Watch how many times he uses a word. And he talks about vain faith again. James talked about vain faith, didn't he? He said, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, being alone. And so if your faith is resting right by itself, you said, preacher, it's faith and it's faith alone. James said that's a vain faith. Now many today have a vain faith, and we have to separate. We have to separate a real faith. Now listen, if when we ride on mom and daddy's coattail and we say it's good because grandpa said it's good, that can be a vain faith. Doesn't mean it is, but we have to analyze it. We have to take time and see it. Is the preaching vain? Is the faith vain? Paul said, if this is not so, then grace is vain. And so we got to deal with this. And he talked about it again where he said, then they also which were fallen asleep in Christ, what happened to them? They perished. Now Paul is the preacher of 1 Thessalonians 4, when he made the point that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them. That's going to be a glorious event. We're going to watch those dead saints come out. And we're going to say, bless God, who is that? I thought I saw something on the back of his shirt that said Moses. And we're going to watch him. Listen now, we will watch him. We will watch them when they come out. They're coming out. And brother, I'm going to tell you, every eye shall see him. Now, well, it does not mean, I do not profess to know all about the catching up, but I know what he said. He said the dead in Christ going first, and we which are alive remain going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, you're talking about, that is one event you do not want to miss. Can you imagine not only meeting Christ in the clouds, but all those dead patriarchs, all those dead saints, all those great apostles, we read about it, and we find it that we have to do something about Christ if we want to be with Christ. We've got to deal with him.
Yeah.
Paul said if he's not raised, our faith's got a problem. It's vain faith, not real faith. And so we see things that are not always real. And we say, well, I saw that. But was it real? Brother, we are not preaching a vain faith, a faith that is propped up, a faith that hangs on somebody else's coattail or dress hem. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a personal salvation is what Paul's preaching. And he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And I'm going to tell you a real good indicator. A real good indicator of where your faith is how are you feeling this morning. Now, if your hope's in an egg and a bunny, you got a problem. If your hope is in a nice dress or shirt or tie match, you have a problem. If it's in your hairdo, or if it's in the things you put on, the trinkets of the world, if it's in that, we have a problem. And I'm going to tell you, the masses and the majority of this world has that problem today. Listen, they asked the question, not me. The disciples asked the question. Remember when he asked Jesus over in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke in the 24th verse? And they looked at Jesus and said, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? Well, Jesus already dealt with that, hadn't he? Back in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew when he said, and few there be that find it. That's why we can safely say the masses of this world know nothing about real faith. But see, today's a good test day. You know, in school, it was never a good test day, was it? And never a good day for a test. I didn't want to have one on a Monday. That's too quick. Didn't want to have one on Friday. May not be there. And no other day in between. But it's a real good test day to you to analyze your faith. Is it a real faith or a vain faith? Paul said, I have to analyze my preaching. And I analyze my preaching on the basis of whether or not the resurrection's real. And if it's real, then thank God my preaching is A-okay. But if it's not real, I've got to change my preaching. And so is my faith real? Or is it vain? But now, look at the 20th verse, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so what happened? He's the first one God raised. He's the first fruit. But I'm going to tell you, he is God's pride and joy. And so he's first, brother. He's right there. And we see it. For since by man came death, and we're going to get down to some of the good stuff right here, some of the meat and potatoes of the Word of God, because Paul's leading into this. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. And so here, Christ, what is Christ doing? You're going to see this in the 22nd verse. I pray God hide this 22nd verse in your heart. For as in Adam, all men die. How many? All. A-double-L. See, there are some things we can be sure about in the Word of God. We can be sure that through Adam, all men die. I don't have to wrestle with that. I don't have to look at you and say, well, you know, Brother Buddy looks pretty good back here. He probably never needed a Savior. And I don't have to do that to Brother Gary, Brother. I don't have to analyze. I know from the Word of God that in Adam, all die. And so our preaching, what can it be? It can be a preacher of a surety that all men need a Savior. All men have to be saved. Men, women, boys, and girls. All mankind. What happens here? Paul said, even so in Christ. And so we're going to analyze two things. And it's not the first man, Adam, and the second Adam. No, it's the first man, Adam, and the last Adam. There's no need for another. Christ is not the second Adam. He's the last. And so we're going to find it that Christ, what did he do? He undone everything that
Adam made a mess of in the garden, Christ undone it, and so in him shall all be made alive. Now what happens? You all have received that earthly birth. There's nobody here today by osmosis. You just didn't pop up or show up, did you? No. And despite what the evolutionary people say, we did not come from a tadpole in a mud hole. And so we didn't just develop, and we didn't go from a crawl to a walk, and then all of a sudden we arose upright. That didn't happen. And so here we find it, we were all born of Adam, a earthly birth. But there's got to be a spiritual birth. And so even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now that's not universalism. That does not say that because Christ died you're safe. That does not say that because he spilt his blood on a cross that you are guaranteed in. That's not it. You know, there's people to believe that today, brother, and plenty of them. They think, well, Christ died for me. That's me. He's him. I'm me. I'm in. That's not so. And so there has to be a spiritual birth. There has to be a resurrection of the heart. There has to be. Paul dealt with this, not me. Ephesians 2:1. I'm only reading it. I didn't write it. He said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Where in times past, Paul said, I'm going to talk about some of your past. Now, we don't want our past brought up, do we? And we kind of guard our children from our past, because if we don't, they say, "Ooh, you did that." And so we don't want them to do that. And nobody, is any volunteers today, if we had a nice projector screen, we could put your past up on the screen and everybody look at it and take notes. There would be no takers for that. I don't want my past. But Paul said, I'm going to deal with your past a little bit. He said, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh. But I'm going to tell you, that same spirit that did work in the children of disobedience is the same spirit that still works, Brother Jimmy, in the children of disobedience. That's not a brand new spirit. Nothing's changed. They're only doing that their father says do. And that's what Jesus was dealing with, wasn't it? In John 8:44, when he looked and said, "But ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He said, you'll have to do it. You have to. You said, "Preacher, my life is in trouble, and I don't know why I'm so contrary to the gospel." You need a new father. You need a new birth. You need a new daddy. And so here we find it. In Adam, what happened? All men die. But in Christ shall all, A-double-L, all be made alive. What a promise. You know, an old sinner can be saved through Christ. Boy, that blesses me.
Amen.
Didn't matter if my folks had money or not. Didn't matter if they'd been to jail or not. None of those things matter. And he said it. Then cometh the end. Well, I'll skip the verse. Watch this in 23. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, and afterward they that are Christ that is coming." Then cometh the end. Now, we said something about this. Christ undone what Adam did in the garden. I want you to go back to Genesis 3, and we're going to read a couple of verses here. You hold your spot if you like. I'm just going to read a verse, and you know the verse very well. But Genesis 3:15, how much of our faith hinges on this verse? And so we know God entrusted man and put him to the test to see what he'd do with the word of God, and he failed the test. You know what man do today? They fail. Women fail. Children fail. We fail. And so we are miserable failures. And so what happened? As Adam and Eve were put to the test, God came by and he showed up. And so that walk in the garden, the cool of the day, sis was saying about it, was hindered and hampered by something like sin. And the next thing you know, Adam is hiding from the Lord. I got a pretty good idea that Eve was hiding too. And so I always think about this. I wonder, how do we hide from the Lord? Now, I got some folks, you know, they work some of these people pretty bad to use drugs, and them drugs will make you think things real that ain't really real, you know. They sometimes, you know, they'll go to hiding and
in their mind, you know, they got boogers chasing them and monsters chasing them. And so they'll go over there, and the little old tree won't be very big, you know. It can't hide them. The tree's not big enough, but they over there hiding behind the tree. And so, you know, they don't think they can be seen. And don't you imagine that's the way Adam was? And so God said, "Where art thou, Adam?" That's the call of God that still comes to all mankind today. That call's not changed. God still calls all mankind. He has no desire that any man perish, but that all. I like it's lots of alls in the Word of God. And here Jesus said that all should come to repentance. But watch it. In this great failure that Paul made reference to, in Adam all men die. We see it summed up in the 15th verse where he said, God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," talking to the serpent, talking to Satan's representative. And here he said, "I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Watch now. And so what happened? Christ on the cross. They said, "Thank God we've got him. We've got him. We've done it. We've got him." And here we find it that he said, "He shall bruise thy head." And so what happened? Here Christ undone every mistake that Adam made, all the failures of Adam, and Christ fulfilled. We're going to see just exactly how God esteemed this on a quick basis. Watch it. "For he must reign," verse 25. "For he must reign." Can I back up and get 24? Would you allow me just one back up? You ever go through the checkout line and you forgot to get something? You said, "Ma'am, would you let me run and get that? I'll be right back." Do you ever do that? Sometimes I hate to lose my spot, you know. And so if they'd be so gracious, good. And if you'd let me back up, I'm going to read 24, because Paul said, "Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he, Christ, shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." There's the culmination of what we find in the 20th chapter, the 10th verse of Revelation's writings, John's writings. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented." I like that, brother. "Shall be tormented day and night." How long? Forever and ever. This is what Paul speaks of. "Then cometh the end." And what's he going to do? He's going to put down all rule, all authority and power. And I'm going to tell you that is very applicable to your life. You know what we say? We say there's things in my life, preacher, that I have no control over. There's things that I cannot help. There's things that I cannot stop. But that's not what the Word of God said. He said that Christ hath all rule, all authority, all power. And brother, we have to find that by faith. That if he's God enough to save me, he's God enough to keep me. And he's God enough to deliver me and to break the yoke in my life. If he's God enough that he's all authority and all rule and all power, then I trust he can get deliverance and give me deliverance and get the victory over something that's hindering my Christian walk. Amen. Don't you? Yes, he's that big a God. Amen. And here he said it. "For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, death, death." Death's going to be destroyed. Death and hell, what happened? Death and hell found no place. "For he hath put all things under his feet." But when he saith all things are put under him, talking about Christ, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. What's he talking about? God's accepted of that. The only thing that Christ will not rule over is God the Father. He explains it in the following verse. "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject to" who? "To God. Unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." What are we talking about? Today could be a good indicator for where you are spiritually. How your faith is. Is it real faith or vain faith? Is it a faith that's wholesome? Is it a faith that's working well? Or is it a faith that's hindered and hampered by sin, by disease, and by sickness? I'm going to tell you, brother, there are those today who are saved by the marvelous grace of God, but their life
does not show that. And you can't see that because of things that have come in. But watch. Paul said that Christ, what's he going to do? He will be, through God, that God would be all in all. And we find it to be here that he, all things, verse 27 is the one I'm looking for, under his feet. And when he says that, we find that he's going to give it all back to the Father. And does Christ have the preeminence? Yes. And does Christ have the total rule? Yes. And the only thing Christ longs to rule today is the heart of all mankind who are outside of saving grace. And so listen, we are no exception to that. Those people had to deal with Christ. He confronted Mary at the tomb. He confronted Peter. He confronted John. You say, well, they ought to all been covered with the blanket plan, preacher. They were faithful unto the end. And they stayed with the Lord through his adversities and trials. And so they ought to all... No, it's a personal salvation. It's a personal experience. And today, if there's celebration in your heart, that's a pretty good indicator that you might know him. But we can't trust in that alone. We have to know that we're saved. We have to. All of these things will come to pass. I'm glad God has undone. I'm glad God has undone through Christ all the messes that Adam made. But it don't stop there. It's the great culmination. And if there's no celebration of the Savior today in your heart, there may not be any celebration when Jesus comes. You know, our hope is not the fact that we're going to get to leave this world by the grave one day. That's not the hope. There's no hope in that. The hope is that we're going to get to be with Christ. The hope is that we're going to be at that meeting in the air. The hope is that we will see him as he is. And when John said that in 1 John 3:3, he said, but it doth not appear what we shall yet be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the believer's hope. And if there's no hope today in your heart, maybe a good day to get it fixed. Be a great day to be saved, wasn't it, Brother Donnie? If you're outside of saving, and you know what would happen? Every resurrection Sunday, you would say, today's the day. I got it right with God. Let's stand across the building. Musicians are coming. Brother Rick's coming. I want you to obey him this morning. And as we stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, Brother Ike's going to come. I want to ask you this last question. Where is the celebration of your heart? Is it real to you? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? Jesus could come today. Yeah. Christ could come right now. Yeah. Would you go? Or would you be left? What do we celebrate? Him alone. Yeah. But is that celebration in your heart? His bow, eyes closed as they play. I would that God would breathe that to your heart. And you'd have a one-on-one confrontation with the Lord Jesus. Like they all had in the Word of God. Those two men headed to the village of Emmaus had to have it. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? But I'm going to tell you, they had the right kind of heartburn. I pray that God would give you a heartburn this morning.